Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, our guest is old friend Evie Lorgan. Evie and I go way back, as many of you know. Evie and I wanted to discuss certain key topics that are topical these days. So, without any further ado, Evie Lorgan, welcome back to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Thank you, James. It's always a delight to talk with you because it's so easy to discuss things that are just kind of out in the open and keep it just kind of like a casual discussion of what's going on and what we could remember in the past and how we can tie things together that are very apropos right now. So we had a little bit of a discussion before this. So I'll let you take the lead on where you want to start with this.
Well, I just had Paul Blake Smith on the show. I've had him on the past. He's talked about the Cape Saint Girardeau crash retrieval, alien crash retrieval in 1941, and he's been on the show to talk about President Eisenhower's meeting with aliens in 1954. And his most recent book that's come out is the legendary encounter that Jackie Gleason, the great one, had with his friend Richard Nixon. President Richard Nixon had taken Jackie Gleason to Homestead Air Force Base where they viewed alien bodies. So the point being is that this information has been out there for a long time, and Paul has a lot of circumstantial evidence to show that Richard Nixon was in Florida at the time. He'd visited Homestead Air Force Base many times over a 4-year span, and Jackie Gleason was a UFO enthusiast, to say the least. He'd actually had one of his homes built in the shape of a mothership with smaller annex buildings in the shape of smaller scout craft, right? And he had a UFO library of over 1,000 books. So today, when you see the surface level truthers on their podcast and on BitChute and other channels, when the subject of yet another whistleblower coming out with information about aliens and about alien technology, they roll their eyes because they've all fallen for the blue beam thing. And like I've said before, the possibility exists that the whole Project Blue Beam meme was created by the aliens and their hybrid minions themselves to detract from the rare, very real possibility that in a state of total flux, chaos, and confusion, one or more alien races may decide, well, it's time to shoot for all the works now. We can do what Barbie talked about, the landings of the big cattle cars and the loading up of zombied-out humans to be taken away for consumption purposes. And many of us have had UFO dreams, alien invasion dreams, long predating any discussion about Project Bluebeam, so-called. So the notion that an alien invasion is an impossibility, that it is not even on the cards, that it's not something that is possible, is itself psychological warfare meme. Because one or more alien races may decide, and this is despite whatever the reptilian overlords of this planet want, one or more alien races may decide that now is our chance to take what we want, whether it's mineral resources, whether it's human resources, whether it's souls, whatever the case may be. If there's enough chaos, upheaval, and confusion on this planet, destruction, we've seen this on the surface level with the so-called disaster capitalism, when some natural disaster or contrived artificially generated disaster or wars, as in the case in Ukraine, occur, then the human traffickers move in and take away as many women and children as possible. And who's to say that something along those lines won't happen en masse? People are disappearing all the time in national parks and elsewhere. And increasingly, according to David Politis' research, more and more people in urban settings are turning up missing. So who's to say that at some point these aliens may decide to en masse to start taking people away, but people are so hypnotized with this notion of aliens aren't real, therefore there cannot be an alien invasion. As we know, this invasion is incremental and gradual, and in the recent past has advanced by leaps and bounds. The aliens, reptilians in particular, control this planet. And so this notion that aliens are not here, aliens cannot invade, is farcical to begin with, because this whole construct is an alien controlled construct. So I just wanted to put that out because people, like, I keep mispronouncing his name, David Gorsh, Gorsuch. He's
Yeah,
the,
Gush, Gresh,
yeah,
Grosh. I don't know
yes.
either. Yeah.
But he's asked for whistleblower protection, right? We've seen what's happened in the recent past when FBI whistleblowers have come to Congress and they've been harassed and all this other stuff. And Gorsuch, I keep mispronouncing his name, he's asked for similar protection. So we're seeing double standards. Wait, these FBI whistleblowers, let's listen to what they've got to say. Oh, but this Gorsuch guy, that's Project Bluebeam. So what we're seeing is this double standard, and it's being promoted by people that are frankly completely ignorant about the alien control system here. They've been totally hoodwinked. And going forward, we're going to see a separation. We're already seeing it now because President Eisenhower had a meeting with aliens in 1954. Some kind of treaty, as you know, was promulgated around that time. This resulted in ongoing cooperation between one or more alien races and deep black elements of the human military medical field in underground and above ground locations. So that has been going on for some time now. Now, what we're going to talk about today is how we see this disclosure playing out. It seems to be multifaceted. And as I'll let you point out, as you pointed out before we came on the show here, it seems to be multiple choice, right? So, the floor is yours, Evie. Let's hear your take on it.
Well, there's so many elements to this. They want us to be afraid. Let's say if there is, increased activity and evidence of craft and anomalies happening, it could be made so that it increases the chaos factor, like you say, and increases fear. But I think they want to corral the fear, the chaos, the anger in a direction such that we will fight against one another or all against the government. The whole government is bad. Or that it's not really aliens, and this is only Project Bluebeam, and it's really our bad, evil military that's doing it and faking aliens, and then there's only good ETs, and there's no bad ETs really, and so I hear these different things, but from our research, as well as Barbara Bartholik and Dr. Carla Turner, who are both passed, they got a lot of cases, and we've seen these too, of people who are having genuine alien abductions that are physical with not only the grays and reptilians, but different beings. Maybe they have a different appearance that appear to be, as Barbie used to say, diabolical, for lack of a better term, and that appeared to actually be a bit of a threat based on how they interacted with certain people. But they might pose a benevolent quality or aspect in the experience, and then within several different abductions, then there's going to be a malevolent and a deceptive things down the road, so that the whole ball of wax could be a whole con job they do. So what they want us to do is see, oh well, look how they healed my hands. Oh well, look how, but I felt no fear, and they were so wonderful. And so even within the same person's experience, they could have these reactions. But then, down the road, the same aliens or whatever, they're just gonna maybe heal their hands so that they're a better piece of cattle for whatever they're gonna do later, so that you have a particular opinion that promotes a Stockholm kind of allowance of what they're doing. So it's really hard to see unless you see the whole ball of wax. So that's what I was seeing, is that what they're doing with the official controlled information narrative, for the most part, they're going to want to direct our belief systems in such a way that, and it's like, for example, Stephen Greer has excellent evidence of mostly military and military industrial complex people with true experiences that relate to technology or aliens, but it tends to corral it into, well, the government's really the bad people. Okay, we have the technology, we know they exist, but the government are really bad because they're keeping secrets and all this high tech energy technology away for us, so we live in poverty, da 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 da. But what they tend to miss, and as a therapist, I see this all the time, the connection between what I'm going to call hierarchy system families, Illuminati system families, satanic ritual abuse, complex trauma, narcissistic abuse, attached entities, to the traumas of a lot of alien abduction, and especially my lab histories, MK Ultra histories, that may have this whole connection in their family line of some really dark, malevolent entities that are working through. And sometimes it's conscious, and other times it appears to be ancestral, or that these beings have laid claim to certain bloodlines and people, and they're taking them anyway, and they're accomplishing the same things through, you know, dissociative trauma to do basically the same kinds of thing as MKUltra or a secret space program. So people are not seeing the satanic ritual abuse, the elite families who are already in cahoots with darker beings that require blood sacrifice, sluice feeding, human trafficking, MKUltra, mind control, the whole nine yards through religious, spiritual, culty stuff. And then they allocate their power to military, medical, and government and all the other sectors of society that is essentially controlled by the elite, who are already in cahoots with these beings who are primarily, I would say, of the louche feeding, blood sacrificing type. But there may be others who are kind of in between and maybe not so bad or not so good. So it's not a black and white situation, but what tends to get hidden under the rug, people don't want to go there, is anything relating to, you know, satanic ritual abuse or the darker elements of MKUltra and family member connections with the occult angle of the control system on top of the military industrial complex. And I'll give you an example of that, because this is something, and I know I'm running on a tangent, but I want to make a point. And I saw this discussed on a Dave Hodges show with another man. It's Doug and Dave. And I know that you know of Dave Hodges because Dave Hodges knows Vance Davis. And you had interactions with Vance Davis in the past because he worked for the NSA. And so he knew a lot of people who have high-level connections and families. So long story short, the Doug guy mentioned that, and I believe that his father, I think his father worked for Raytheon, or a military aerospace type of company, and that for his father to move up the company and get a higher security clearance, as well as maybe a higher paying job, more responsibility, he had to join the Freemasons, okay? So that was like one of the deals, right? And then he mentioned that, like, I think his dad had moved up to the 32nd degree, which is like sometimes they're Shriners or whatever, and that they had kept trying to get his mom, who was married to him, to get into the Eastern Star, which is the female women's equivalent of the Freemasons. So basically, this is how they lock you into an occult agreement of entrapment with high level, you know, non-human entities, as well as what archons, Lucifer, whoever they are, to control the information and the power in these bigger companies and their families. So once they get you to lock you in that terms of agreements, then they can access, I think, your kids and get the companies to have greater authority over their employees. They really got them by the balls, basically, because once you sign up for that, then you could move up in a company, just like moving up in the banking families or whatever, but then you're under greater rulership of these beings who lay claim to everybody in those families down the generations. And so then this is what we've seen accidentally, right? That we met all these people who have alien abductions, but they might have a MyLab component. Sometimes it's just alien, but how many of them were like, wow, you know, well, my parents worked at Lockheed and this one worked for NASA. And then like, well, that one was in DARPA. Well, like, wow, you know, that's really interesting. And then, oh, they're also a Freemason. And so I believe there's a connection between the spiritual dark occult element that's really on the top of all the government, all the medical, all, and even the alien. So the aliens are in cahoots with these powers that just play their games. So that's the part that they don't want us to know. And because then you can't take away, then you can't get out from under the power control system. You're always in it. If you don't know, you're still under their control. So that was one thing I wanted to bring out that's not recognized, so that when evidence does come out, that's very valid. Okay. So it's like cherry picking the data, but basically, well, we're going to show you the truth but only this truth. But we're going to kind of hide and make marginalized and make invisible these other things that are actually very relevant and connected to, you know, how we get out of this power and control system of like massive harvesting and loose feeding and all kinds of dark shit. So that's my beef, really. And then, of course, you see people who think, well, it's only benevolent ETs. And it's really, you know, the bells and whistles of how the special hybrids and, you know, they have all these wonderful abilities. And then it's their galactic brothers. Is there a complex trauma in their family history? And is there a connection with these hierarchy system families or MK Ultra or cult abuse? And is there really sexual abuse? Let's take a deeper dive in the family histories and true resolution of complex trauma. Okay. So I don't see this necessarily with many of the people who've taken more of the researcher hat, so to speak, because I became a therapist, right? And then I was always interested in this field because of my experiences. But when you look at it from a therapist perspective and a complex trauma and a spirituality perspective, we've got a problem. And if you don't see the whole ball of wax, you're just going to cherry pick the data and only see maybe the bells and whistles or the super bad stuff. And we blame it on somebody else that we're fighting with each other. So it's like a narcissist, right? So a narcissist would create this triangulation thing so that they kind of manipulate everybody to kind of have fights with each other. And they make it so that they're mad at each other and it's that person's fault and they're bad mouthing and smear campaigning this person, that person. Really, they're behind the whole scenes, you know, loose feeding, directing the whole fucking thing. So I think something like that's going on.
And also how that narcissistic and the basis for all narcissism is there's a spiritual component behind it. How in mass, we're seeing this control system rise up now through mass media, social media, cinema, politics, philosophies and ideologies, which are Luciferian in nature, how it's rising up in mass and in true narcissistic fashion. We're all being gaslit now. We're all being psychologically abused. What's been sub rosa all this time, although many of us that are in this field, various aspects of this field have known all along that there is this dark undercurrent of human trafficking, of cult abuse, what have you. That's risen up now. And the proponents of this have taken on the mantle of victim ideology politics. So you have a tiny percentage of the population who identify as this, that, or the other type pronoun, whatever the case may be. And they're demanding all the rights. They're taking away everyone's rights and saying, we're the only ones that require rights. And they're demanding what amounts to sacrifices. A lot of these people, they can't breed on their own. So they're demanding everyone else's children. And the school systems, the judicial system, everything is backing them up now. So what used to be hidden before is now upfront, in your face, narcissistic, psychological abuse all across the board. And it's all public gaslighting now. It's amazing. It didn't take long for all that to happen. And now we're seeing it. And another point I'd like to make is you look at the cherry picking that you alluded to a moment ago. I mentioned that I had Paul Blake Smith on the show. The person who wrote the foreword of his most recent book about President Nixon and Jackie Gleason, Nixon taking Gleason to Homestead Air Force Base to view alien bodies. The person who wrote the foreword to the book was the attorney for E. Howard Hunt, the CIA operative, one of the plumbers, you know, that long story, I'm not going to get into it, but I believe Watergate was set up to get Nixon out of office. It was a bloodless coup, essentially. And so the plumbers, they were deliberately incompetent and allowed themselves to be busted breaking into the Watergate Hotel. Okay. Now, point of relevance is E. Howard Hunt's son had been on the Alex Jones show to talk about how E. Howard Hunt had made the deathbed confession that he was in on the plot to kill John F. Kennedy, something that a lot of us had known all along. Point of relevance is the attorney for E. Howard Hunt, who was in comms with Paul Blake Smith about his new book, said E. Howard Hunt also said that we have been visited by ETs. We've always been visited by ETs. So this is going to be another area of cherry picking. The surface level types will Oh, E. Howard Hunt. Oh, yeah. He admitted on a deathbed that the CIA was behind John F. Kennedy's assassination. But when you say that the same E. Howard Hunt admitted that there were aliens and that they were here all along, oh no, that's psyops, that's disinformation. You see, it's cherry picking, and it's always been like that because these surface level types, they followed the science, the bogus science, of course, that were the only ones here. And there's a fundamentalist, rigid, fundy mentality behind a lot of that, which has filtered down in various ways through the religion of scientism, through fundamentalist religions. And here's another problem that the surface level types are going to have. Ted Gunnarsson, and you knew Ted Gunnarsson back in the old days because we were part of the Southern California crowd, so we had occasion to, rub shoulders and cross paths with Gunnarsson. For example, at the Bryce Taylor conference that we attended. And for those that have seen the video of the Bryce Taylor lecture, that very loud, obnoxious sneeze in the beginning, that was me. You remember that? But
Pasadena, right? That
that
was
was
in Pasadena.
Pasadena. That was
Oh,
Pasadena. T Ted Gunnarsson introduced Bryce Taylor to the audience. In the question and answer period, Bryce Taylor was asked, had she ever observed shapeshifting? And she said, simple answer, yes, and then moved on to the next question. Audience applauded, right? Point being is that Ted Gunnarsson asked me to brief him about reptilians. So here's another
Interesting.
problem that the surface level types have. It's bad enough that E. Howard Hunt is saying that aliens have been visiting us all along. They want to memory hold that. It conflicts with their dogmas and their taboos. That's bad enough. But when I say that Ted Gunderson, who's been fighting satanic cults all his life, probably died an untimely death through arsenic poisoning, that he asked
Oh.
me to brief him about reptilians, that's a problem that the surface level types have because they don't want to hear that. They don't want to know that Ted Gunderson, who knew so much about the SRA and the cult abuse and the human trafficking, why he would be interested in reptilians. And the answer is simple. It's the same thing that David Icke found out when he spoke to one of the ladies who ran Mothers Against Cult Abuse. The lady, I forget her name, asked David Icke, why do we keep getting reports of people in these ceremonies and rituals changing into lizard people? There's no context for that unless one understands you go back to the ancient Nagas in India and you go back to all the accounts through all these different cultures of shape-shifting, right? That we know that that's real. So when this lady who runs an organization or is one of the leaders of the organization, Mothers Against Cult Abuse, asked David Icke, well, why do we keep getting reports of people in these cults turning into lizard people or turning into snake people? Well, I'm sure David Icke had a reason, had a good answer for her, right? Point being is that that's the level that the real players operate at, that
Yes.
we're up against a non-human force. Ted Gunderson knew this. E. Howard Hunt knew this, right? I'm presuming E. Howard Hunt knew this. And the problem we're seeing now is it's been divided up so many different ways. For example, if someone has the channel Tubi, it's a streaming channel similar to Binge or similar to, pardon the profanity, Netflix, right? If they go on to Tubi, Tubi, which is a great channel, lots of UFO paranormal documentaries, lots of military history documentaries, lots of music concert documentaries, and they have a lot of UFO documentaries. Many of the people interviewed in these UFO documentaries are the same types of love and light. All 100% aliens are good. There are no bad aliens. These are the ones that always wind up on these documentaries and on these shows over and over and over. And that's part of the process. So people, what they're trying to do is that element of the population, whether they've had experiences or not, ET experiences or not, but they're open to the possibility that ETs exist. They want to befuddle and confuse them with this notion that all aliens are good.
It's a Hegelian dialectic.
It is a
All good
Hegelian, yeah.
for the multiple choice question.
It's a multiple choice question. And there's a school of thought that the aliens that, and we'll never really know the ultimate motivations of the aliens that met with Eisenhower in 1954 at what became Edwards Air Force Base. But what we were hearing from a lot of the contactees in the early days was when they had encounters, especially with human-looking aliens, the aliens always told them, "You've got to get your government to stop with these incessant nuclear tests, because you're not only messing up your own world, you're also mucking up all these other dimensions, because all these other dimensions are interconnected with your dimension, and you're causing problems with all these nuclear tests over and over and over again." So that was a consistent theme that a lot of the contactees in the old days started receiving. And the same message was given to Eisenhower: give up your nuclear weapons, have a worldwide ban on nuclear weapons, and we'll share our technology with you. And then we'd like to introduce ourselves to the human population at large. We want to have a mass showing of ourselves. And Eisenhower was totally adamant against that, right? So could history have taken a fork in the road? Let's just say, for the sake of argument, that those really were good, well-intentioned ETs in 1954. Could things have maybe turned out differently? Well, maybe, maybe not, but we'll never know, because Eisenhower, being a flunky of the military-industrial complex, which he later acted as if he was against the military-industrial complex, he went along with the military-industrial complex creed of, no, we'll continue to have nuclear tests, we'll continue to have this Cold War, et cetera, et cetera. So I just wanted to throw that out, that there's a lot of subtle nuances, there's a lot of shades of gray. It's not all black and white. And some of the biggest names in the fight against the New World Order knew about the reptilians, like Ted Gunderson.
It's not black and white, but I could see how they would want to engineer, our acceptance of the ones that would manipulate us. And I think they've been doing that all along. But there might be good ones too. And this kind of takes me to somewhat of another turn, but I've been reading the Mario Benigno's, it's not his biography, but it's actually an interview based on his biblical research and translations of the mostly the Old Testament. But what he knew about these Malachim and Elohim and the ones that interacted with the early Israeli and Babylonian culture that were actually flesh and blood beings who had godlike powers and longer lives. And they tended to be, I think, Caucasian and tall and maybe blonde hair, blue eyes, and red hair. And they had a thing for the women, obviously, and the hair. But which is interesting because they tended to be a little bit more sexual and openly sexual. So when I read some of this, I'm thinking that's classic friggin' reptilians or ones that have that energy, like they had that Kundalini sexual energy. And they mentioned, it's funny, he mentioned the hair, how they that's why they would tell the women to cover their head and their hair in church with a veil because of, quote, the angels. But it's actually the fallen ones who must have had human, somewhat human form, who could like hang around in the midst, and then like have a thing for the women with the hair, because apparently some of these aliens, I guess these Elohim and Malachim, maybe they couldn't grow hair as easily as humans could. And it might have been a genetic thing that when they hybridized us, we had continually growing hair. And so they were really fascinated with this whole hair thing. But the way he explained them in the Bible, it made me think, wait a minute, there's a whole slew of these beings, some of them better than others, and some of them definitely ruthless and blood sacrificing and wanting to then, the burnt meat and the fat and giving the firstborn son. I mean, it's classic human blood sacrifice, loose feeding, vampiristic false god crap, all trying to be like they're the gods. And so anyway, he takes one passage where he's describing Lot in the ancient Sodom and Gomorrah, how he was visited by these angels, but I think they were really Malachim. And apparently during that time, Biglino says that they really weren't necessarily well-liked. It's like some people were kind of afraid of them, because if you went against what they were saying to do, they might just zap them or kill them or wipe out an entire city like a nuclear blast. So it was as if, like, you got to do what we say or else. But it made me think, well, wait a minute here. Did they, like, if somebody got really rebellious, they just wipe out a city and then make it like, well, it's your fault for being bad. But really, it was more like understanding the psychopathology of somebody who, if you don't play ball with them, well, they'll just take hostages of millions, and we're going to blackmail you until you do what we say. And so they maybe will get the elite or the priestly class to basically do their bidding. And if people start like figuring this shit out, you know, it'd be like, they get blackmailed, or there's a hostage situation, or they just take out a few cities. So it reminded me of like some of these movies where, you know, you see these psychopath terrorists who are kind of like these outlier types who got a hold of bioweapons or whatever it was, and they're just going to wipe out a city unless they could ransom for money or whatever, like entire governments or something. So when you see what's behind the power that are behind some of these power structures, religions, governmental bodies, my sense was that, wait a minute, you know, this is not a simple black and white situation. We're dealing with a true dark force taking the form of, let's say, many different types of alien shapes, forms, beings that might be essentially the same ones that have been interacting in history. They could take a number of forms. So it's like, if people start waking up a little bit too much and start noticing the con job game with the human trafficking, the blood sacrifice, the loose feeding, the like the mind control, the narcissistic abuse, it's like, uh-oh, okay, then they're on to us now, so we better do something. So they may just do something really, really nasty, or threaten people who have to keep secrets, who are already blackmailed, who already were took the Faustian bargain, to do something that we're not even aware of the level of how they might be playing us. And that was my first instinct when I read Mario Baglino's work and his translations. Okay, so here's another thing that I wanted to bring up, because I know based on our interaction with Barbara Bartholik and what she knew in her research, and how we would have these long conversations of like, oh my God, yes, now I can see how they're manipulating. Some people have said extreme scientism and extreme fundamentalist religious thought are two sides of the same coin in terms of the thinking that's easily manipulated and mind controlled by whatever forces that are just playing this dialectic or multiple choice question answer. Okay. So what Mario showed, not only in, let's say, the old Judaism, in some of Christianity, okay, even though I think Jesus Christ was a true, real, powerful being who did the right thing, but it got kind of twisted. But basically what he was saying, and this is something that I've seen with people who have been cult abused, or my labs, or certain women who have joined certain spirituality circles, different religions. It could be Buddhism, it could be tantric Tibetan Buddhism, it could be Vedanta, it could be a number of different things, could be fundamentalist Christian, could be Mormon, could be whatever, that get it's as if when they get in deep, they realize, oh my God, you know, I'm being kind of like sexually abused and loose fed, like in the same way, but they're making excuses that it's for this spiritual purpose. Okay. What Barbie helped me see, as well as studying narcissistic abuse and how it, a lot of this cult abuse takes advantage of, how should I say it, narratives and belief systems and ethics. Well, you should be this way. You should practice compassion. You should not get angry. You should not be violent, like basic ethical goodness. But what they've done is they kind of twisted it and turned it in such a way that if you got a little bit too rebellious and saw a little bit too much of the underbelly of the control system, of even the false light, that you're not going to be able to fight back, and you're going to be passive, like your pacification program paper, but so that we enable the predators. It always turns into a somewhat of a Stockholm-y, or we don't really see the whole thing, and then we're led into a narrative that actually takes us away from our authentic spiritual awareness to say like, no, I could see that that's evil. I could see that that's wrong. That's classic narcissistic abuse. You're loose feeding, you're manipulating, you're gaslighting. That's wrong. Stop it. And so we're being led to just, well, you know, just accept it, you know, be like the Buddha, all those arrows of the evil one. Well, we'll just transform them and, you know, not react and, you know, just let them what, shit all over us and not fight back. And they really are the gods. So this is my argument, that we're allowing something to predate and manipulate us to not having the appropriate fight response, which is something that Barbie has seen, in classic abductions, where it's as if your natural will to recognize and want to fight back appropriately is eliminated, or, you know, pacified to the point, well, I just felt all love and there was nothing wrong. And, you know, they're able to manipulate that natural fight flight response.
They're able to mute it. They're able to diminish it. I remember I was on this panel with this gal. Oh, I forget her name. I think she's since passed away, but it was at one of Eddie Middleton's conferences. And
one of Memphis. That was one of Memphis, right?
Yeah. I don't think you were at that one. It was the one that Barbie Bartholik and I were at. And I don't know. No, you might have been there. But anyway, it was a gal who kept referring to herself as a Johns Hopkins girl, because she was so unique and so special and so bright. And she worked at McDonnell Douglas. And she talked about this special relationship she had with the ETs. And Barbie always talked about, and you talk about, the incongruent nature of the after effects, the trauma, the latent trauma or the overt trauma, the confusion and the fear and the mistrust and the trust issues that arise as a result of all these intrusions, these alien abusive encounters. And she kept talking about this one experience where the ET showed up at her house at night, and she described her own encounter with these ETs as being benevolent, but at the same time, her young daughter at the time had had an encounter with the same ETs, but her daughter was rendered for a period of time unable to walk, right? So when someone pointed out the contradiction in terms, well, wait a minute, in the same experience, in the same night, you had this benevolent, uplifting, spiritually upgrading experience, but your daughter, in her own words, she said, my daughter's legs were like jelly. She couldn't walk. So clearly there was some form of alien abuse there. When someone pointed out this inherent contradiction to her, she said, oh, it was a different group of ETs. So she's saying that her special group of ETs had come to her and upgraded her, uplifted her, and patted her on the head. But at the very same time, another malevolent group came along, mucked with her young daughter to the point where her daughter momentarily, for a period of time, could not walk. That's that Orwellian doublethink at work where, oh, she's a Johns Hopkins girl. They run all these battery of tests on her, psychological tests, IQ tests, and she's turned out to be some kind of really brilliant example of the human race. But she can't even see the inherent contradiction that the benevolent ETs that she encounters are the very same ETs that leave her daughter's legs feeling like jelly, where her daughter is traumatized and can't even walk. So that's the level of confusion we're talking about. And you talked about the pacification at work. Boy, howdy, do we see that. What they've managed to do en masse is take away that rebellious streak that is inherent within all humans. Now, what's interesting is you're talking about Mauro Baglino and his work. And of course, Pierre Sabbach, what a genius that guy is. If you look at his two books, he goes into detail that so many of these words from all these different ancient languages, Babylonian, Akkadian, et cetera, they're not just talking about celestial beings. They're not just talking about Elohim. He breaks it down to those etymological roots. They're talking about serpent beings. They're talking about reptilians in particular, not just greys, not just Anunnaki, not just Nephilim, but specifically these different terms and designations and all these different languages from ancient times are referring to reptilians. So going way back when, you pointed out how in the old days, these ETs, they didn't play games. It's like, you don't worship us. You don't bow down to us. You don't offer sacrifices. We're going to wipe out your whole city. We're going to wipe out your whole tribe, right? And that's how they operated in the past, quite out in the open. But now everything is all subterfuge. Everything is, you know, the science of religion, which is basically this offshoot, watered down branch that the aliens themselves created to confuse and dumb people down.